Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to change? To let your mind create the future you deserve? Join the thousands of others who have successfully utilized hypnosis to achieve their goals. Lisa is a certified master hypnotist, health and emotional wellness coach, published author, columnist, speaker, trainer, the owner of Holistic Health and Hypnosis Center in Holladay, Utah, and an entrepreneur for over 20 years. Lisa has worked successfully with clients and businesses to show how childhood programming has been running their life unconsciously, how pains and hurts from the past are blocking their future, how an unhealthy mind does create an unhealthy body, how programming can and does affect business productivity and your bottom line profits. And Lisa has helped clients break the cycle of pain, create more joy, peace, love, abundance, and to have an empowered life. Join Lisa, where each week you can find out how to tap into your true power and make it work for you. For more about Lisa, you can find her at hypnosisslc.com. That's spelled hypnosisslc.com. Now, please welcome Lisa Myers.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to have you join us today. I'm just so excited for the guests that we have here. Today's topic is stage hypnosis versus hypnotherapy. And today we have Sean Christensen. He was born in 1975, and he grew up always wanting to be an entertainer. He entertained his family with magic tricks and more. In 2003, he became a certified hypnotherapist with the National Guild of Hypnotists. Soon after, he tried his hand at comedy stage hypnosis and realized immediately he found his passion in entertainment. Having a rough go at first, breaking into the business of stage hypnosis, Sean began to realize the importance of branding and marketing and came up with then name HypnoHip, which launched his career. And now, he is the number one hypnotist in Utah. He performs over 50 shows each year, along with seeing one-on-one clients at his hypnosis clinic in Provo, Utah. The Alpine Hypnosis and Wellness Center, Sean also owns one of the top hypnosis schools in the state where he teaches, 3 hypnosis certifications each year, along with stage hypnosis courses. So please welcome to our show, Sean D. the HypnoHit. Welcome,
Hi,
Sean.
Hi, Lisa. How are you? Oh, I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being with us. I'm so excited about our topic as well. You know, stage hypnosis versus hypnotherapy. And you know, we read a little bit about your bio and so forth, and there's really some fun pictures that we have on the link on our show page and that. And so if you haven't seen it, everyone, please go and check out some of the different pictures. So tell me a little bit, what is the difference? And first of all, let's go with you, Sean Christensen. You know, you grew up always wanting to be an entertainer and so forth. So tell us a little bit about Sean.
Sure. I grew up in Salt Lake area, and then when I was 14, we moved to St. George. When I was in St. George, I was studying psychology in high school and psychology at the Dixie College, and I just fell in love with the idea of becoming a psychologist. We had a hypnotist come to our school and tell us that you can cut therapy into a third of the time by getting to the root of the problem. So that's kind of the route I went. I decided to become a hypnotherapist and found a school in Salt Lake called the Academy for Life Management, where they certify you through the National Guild of Hypnotists. And so I went to that school and became certified in 2003 and just fell in love with helping people and helping create change and that kind of stuff. I also grew up on a little ranch. I did high school rodeo, and so that's kind of where the name HypnoHick came from, is because I considered myself a little bit of a hick growing up in a small town. But it's just kind of how it all works. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. So you incorporate both, but a little bit about stage hypnosis. What you found at the entertainment, but it's a whole different practice than from versus hypnotherapy. And so what has been kind of your experiences? Where do you go? Where can people find you and so forth?
Gotcha. So I perform all across the Western United States. I do shows in Utah, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon. I do a little bit of a tour in May. And so the best way to find me is really to get on my website under hypnohick.com, and they can see where I'm performing. I keep that updated. Or on my Facebook under, it was under HypnoHick, but Facebook won't let you use a stage name. So it's under Sean Christensen, a.k.a. HypnoHick. And they can see where I'm performing by doing that and see where I perform. And I do county fairs all around. I do state fairs. I do fundraisers for high schools and events and that kind of stuff. And so I just kind of perform all over.
Wow. And so a little bit of disclosure here as well. As I had the pleasure of taking Sean's class. I've been doing hypno 2009. Through an apprenticeship, and then I got the pleasure of taking the National Guild of Hypnotists certification course through Sean, and part of that was stage hypnosis, and it was more that I had never really learned, if you will, the basics of hypnosis, and I was also curious about stage hypnosis and how you get people hypnotized so quickly and a little bit of behind that. What are you looking for? People come up on the stage and you're sending them, you know, off the stage. So what are some of the different things that you look for when you're doing your stage hypnosis?
Oh, excellent question. So I do a different show than most of your stage hypnotists do. I do a very clean show, and my show is also very much organized so that I educate about hypnosis as well. So I start off explaining what hypnosis is, what hypnosis is not, and then I get the audience following suggestions, like standing up, sitting down, hollering yes, etc. When I ask for volunteers to come up on stage, most hypnotists use what's called a hand clasp method, where they will interlace their hands and make their hands lock. I don't use their hands, I use a lasso and have their hands stick to a lasso because it's quote-unquote the hypno-hick, right? So I get them... I get them following those suggestions and making their hands stick to the rope. And once I start noticing that that's happening, that's what I'm looking for, is to see whose hands are becoming tight, whose hands are locking to the rope. And then I start weeding out the people who are kind of the most fun, the most, get dramatic's probably not the correct word, most eccentric on stage and going to have fun to create a good entertaining show. And then I just weed them down from there.
So talking to people, you know, that doesn't understand hypnosis and so forth, is it really a trick? Are people going, so some of the beliefs or whatever, that it's all against their will, for instance, you know, on the stage and so forth. Is that true? Are they doing things that they wouldn't, or they can't, you know, that they couldn't, they wouldn't do?
Gotcha. So two parts of that question. One is hypnosis a trick? It's not. It's actually a very scientific principle based on brainwave states. We all go in and out of hypnosis all the time. And so I explain that in stage and how we go in and out of hypnosis, similar to like maybe when you're reading a book and you get to the bottom of the page and then you forget what you just read. Or when you are driving down the street, you go past your light and you don't know where you've been for the last 10 minutes. Those are forms of hypnosis. The only difference is you have somebody facilitating that brainwave state, which is, quote, the hypnotist, right? So then the second part of that question is those people on stage, is it against their will? We have this factor in our brain. It's called the critical factor of thinking, where if I asked a question or gave somebody a suggestion that's against their moral or ethical code, they would pop out of hypnosis. They would just wake up. So that's kind of how that works. Is the critical factor of thinking is a safety mechanism causing you so you would not do something against your will or something that I can force somebody to do. Now, the difference is when they get volunteers up on stage, they already know that they're going to act funny up on stage. They want to be kind of the star of the show. They want to be hypnotized. So I'm getting a lot of unwritten contracts, verbal contracts, I guess you could call it, where they volunteer to come up on stage. They volunteer to act funny up on stage. So that critical factor already is down. But if it was something like if I asked them to go rob a bank or to go do something, it just wouldn't work. They would pop right out of hypnosis.
Interesting. And so kind of like you say, you know, the people that are coming up on stage, they're more suggestible, if you will. They're more willing versus if somebody comes up on stage and says, you can't hypnotize me, on that. So who can and can't be hypnotized?
That's a good question. On stage, we use what's called an authoritative induction. There's four different types of inductions you can use to get someone into a trance. On stage, we use an authoritative induction, and only about 10% of the whole population will respond to that. Now, if somebody comes up and says, oh, I can't be hypnotized, or try to hypnotize me, it's not going to work because the conscious mind won't relax, allowing us to access the subconscious mind. The conscious mind will stay active and continue to repel any suggestions, and so that would not work. Where in a therapy session, like we're talking about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, in a therapeutic session, one-on-one sessions, we use what's called a permissive induction, where 80% of the population responds. So there's quite a difference there.
So basically, then, at least 90% can be hypnotized.
Sure, maybe even a little bit more, because there's other inductions as well. One's called a confusion induction. One's called a rapid or an instant induction. 3% of each of those inductions would work with somebody. So like ADD, if I'm working with somebody who has attention deficit disorder, they would not respond probably to an authoritative or a permissive because it takes too long. So we would use a rapid or maybe even a confusion induction to keep their brain engaged. And they're actually easier to hypnotize, so that ups the percentage a little bit to about 95 to 96% can be hypnotized to some extent.
Great. And this is, it's fascinating. You know, I mean, and looking at the different things and so forth. So really there is about 10% that works really well on the stage.
Correct.
Nice. And now, and I, like for myself, and that I do really well in the permissive. And I noticed that, you know, when myself, when I'm hypnotized, I relax quicker, I go into hypnosis more, and it's just a really nice, pleasant feeling. There, a lot of people are afraid also that maybe they go into hypnosis and they don't come out of it.
Yeah, that's a huge fear.
And is that true or not?
Oh, yeah, it's not true. Because it's a scientific way our brain waves work, and we go in and out of hypnosis. Basically, we go in and out of hypnosis 7 to 10 times every single day. We just don't know it because we're not paying attention to that. So, like I said, when you're driving down the street and you go past your light, you don't know where you've been for 10 minutes, you're in hypnosis. We normally always come out of that, right? So if we're driving down the street and a car pulls out in front of us, boom, we're going to wake up out of that trance. Same thing happens if you go into a state of hypnosis. Nobody in the history of the world has ever been stuck in hypnosis because you just automatically come out of it. So here's an example I like to give on stage. Let's say that I was hypnotizing them and I left the stage. I just left the room, went home or whatever, and left the people hypnotized. There's only two things that can happen. Once I quit talking, I'm not reinforcing that suggestion or that depth trance, so they're either going to A, wake up because they're not hearing my voice, or B, they're going to fall asleep, and then they'll just normally wake up back up again.
Great. Nice. What is the difference between stage hypnosis and versus hypnotherapy? Are you going to make your clients quack like a duck?
That's a fear of a lot of people when they come into my office. They're like, ooh, are you going to make me do that? Are you going to make me dance like Michael Jackson? No, because the only person in there that's going to laugh is me, and I get to see that all the time on stage. So when you go to a hypnotherapist or somebody that's certified in consulting hypnotist, what happens is they bring you in, and there's a process of trying to figure out what it is that they're going to work on. So let's say somebody comes in for weight loss. There's no reason to have somebody quack like a duck or to dance like Michael Jackson. You're going to be very, very, the hypnotist should be very professional and work in a session where that's what they're focused on is the weight loss. Now, let's say they were hypnotized and I wanted to just have fun with the client. We're doing a weight loss session. I get them hypnotized. Mm-hmm. They're deeper than I've ever seen anybody. And then I said, oh, this would be so funny. Boom, you're going to dance like Michael Jackson or Christina Aguilera or something like that. And I snap my fingers. It's not congruent with what they came into the office for. So that being the case, there's that safety mechanism again, that critical factor of thinking that's going to wake them up out of hypnosis.
So they know what's going on then. They don't go out and so they know at all times what's going on.
Yeah, that's another huge misconception is people think that they're going to black out or they're not going to hear the hypnotist, which I don't understand why people think they don't hear the hypnotist because then you wouldn't know what's going on. So everybody hears the hypnotist. They know exactly what's going on. It's all congruent. They're still in control. It's just a state of relaxation, similar to meditation, I guess would be a good way to put it. The difference between meditation and hypnosis is meditation, you're trying to clear your mind, where hypnosis is you're giving suggestions to your mind. But the brain waves are the same. So they know what's going on. They know their surroundings, even on stage. They know what's going on. They know the there's people around them. They just kind of don't care when they're on stage. In a session, a one-on-one session is we've already talked about what we're going to do in the session, and then I just reinforce that, getting it from the conscious mind to the subconscious mind.
Great. What are some examples that people have come to you for?
Oh, great question. I work with a lot of different things in session work. So my biggest one is sports. A lot of people come to me for sports. So basketball, wrestling, bodybuilding, football. I work with soccer players, softball players. Another thing we work with is financial abundance, weight reduction, stop smoking, pain release. You work with that one too, don't you? You work with pain release.
I do. I know also that you do like post-traumatic syndrome as well.
Yes, you have to have a different certification to work with post-traumatic stress, and so I do have that certification. I work with that as well. Correct.
And what? How often do they need to come? Is one time good enough?
When I'm working with like stress reduction or self-confidence, usually one session is enough. I like to do at least one follow-up session to make sure that everything's working, that everything's going well, to find out my success rate, and to reinforce all of the suggestions that we've given them to kind of help them through their issue. When it's coming to stop smoking or losing weight, even sports hypnosis, I like to do at least three sessions, sometimes more. And the way that works is we discuss what's going on, do a little bit of hypnosis. The second session they come back, we find out what's working, what's not working. It's kind of a back and forth thing. It's a teamwork effort when I'm working with a client. So they come in for the second session, you know, what worked, what didn't work, how can we adjust this a little bit? We do a little bit of more talking, but a lot more hypnosis. And then the third time they come in, again, what's working, what's not. And then I do this thing where I teach them how to hypnotize themselves so they don't need to come back to me again. Now, sometimes they do. They come back for reinforcement or come back for a different issue, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I like that as well. With that being said, you've got some classes coming up?
I do. So some training classes. I've got a stage hypnosis class. It's going to be my first class. I'm actually co-teaching that with a gentleman by the name of John Moyer, who is another hypnotist here in Utah. We're going to teach a class starting in October. It's going to be October 14th, 15th, and 16th. And then I've got the NGH certification class, where you get certified through the National Guild of Hypnotists to become a consulting hypnotist, where you can open an office and do your own session work. And I have one that's going to be held in St. George. That one is on March 11th. And then I have one in starts March 11th. And then one in Provo, Utah, at my office there at the Alpine Hypnosis Center, starting March 18th.
And I can tell everyone that I've taken these classes. You know, again, I got certified with the National Guild last year. It was fun. I used to say it was a kick in the pants because it was so much fun coming to the classes, working, you know, all of us working together. And the way that Sean teaches, it's fast, it's fun, we all connected. And so if you're really thinking that you might be interested in looking at hypnotherapy, hypnosis, becoming certified, honestly, I learned so much from the course. Even though I've been doing it since 2009, it helped me to just really change around what I've been doing, how I've been doing it. And then taking some more certifications. Like Sean said, we both have locations where we work with pain management clients as well. And I'm excited. I'm looking at test anxiety for students as well. So there's so many different things that you can work with when it comes to hypnosis and the effectiveness, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Online, there's a lot of, you know, even famous people that have used hypnosis over the years. One thing I love is I know that the University of Utah, their athletic department, you know, they call it sports psychology, but a lot of it is hypnosis.
Oh, sure. I work with UVU's rodeo team. I work with Payson High School softball team. And Yeah, the sports psychology, they use hypnosis. There's a gentleman by the name of David Rockwood, who's the teacher at Payson High School. He wrote a book called Closing the Gap, and he talks a lot about using hypnosis for benefits. And you also mentioned famous people. You know, Sylvester Stallone, he used it for success and for his career. Tiger Woods also used it for his career and for success. Whoopi Goldberg, she used it for the fear of flying. Winona Ryder, I think she used it for stop smoking. Bruce Willis, he was a stutterer, Bruce Willis, so he used it for hypnosis. Billy Joel,
Oh.
David Beckham, Fergie used it for nail biting. Matt Damon,
Huh.
Princess Diana used it for speaking. There's lots of famous people that have used hypnosis.
Yeah. So those that are listening, really look at hypnotherapy and how quickly it can help you if you're struggling with something. If you're interested in learning more about both stage hypnosis or hypnotherapy, again, Sean, where can they find out more information? And if they're interested in signing up for class, where can they go?
Sure. So they can find out some information by going to hypnohick.com. That's spelled HypnoHick.com or alpinehypnosis.com. And they can just email me at hypnohick@hotmail.com or Sean D at hypnohick. But my name's spelled funny. It's SHAUNDEE, and that's at hypnohick.com. They can email me there and I can send them some information as well.
Great. Is there any last words that you'd like to end this session with?
No, I think we pretty well covered it. I really appreciate you having me on for an interview. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you again. And again, everyone, go to hypnohick.com and look both if you're thinking about maybe doing some hypnosis or if you're wanting some entertainment. Sean is incredible. There's some videos out there that he's got on YouTube that are just fun to watch. They're just hilarious. And again, hypnosis can be used for pretty much anything that you're struggling with.
Yeah. I've got some CDs also on my website. I'm not promoting this, but we have CDs for all sorts of stuff: sports hypnosis, basketball, financial abundance, hypnosis for success. I even wrote a book on how to hypnotize anybody willing. You can purchase on the website as well. But yeah, it's such a huge, huge benefit and tool.
Absolutely. So are those available for purchase on HypnoHIC or the Alpine Center?
At HypnoHIC, yeah.
At HypnoHIC. So everyone, you can go there and learn more about him. Again, Sean, thank you so much for being with us today. And I really
Oh, thank you,
appreciate you
Lisa.
taking the time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I've enjoyed it.
Perfect. Okay, everyone. Again, we're going to be doing some more. I've got Tony Famakis coming on this Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit more about hypnosis, as well as we'll be having Amy Mawhinney coming on and talking as well. So if you are struggling, check us out. Check out hypnohick.com, and also check out the National Guild of Hypnotists. If you are a hypnotist and you're needing certification or you're wanting to join an incredible organization, the National Guild of Hypnotists is amazing. They really are out there to really create a space and a place for professionals with more education and certifications and so forth. So if you have any questions or if you want to get in touch with me, again, lisa@lisamyers.com, or you can just go to our website, hypnosisslc.com. And so until next time, have an incredible day.
Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. Join Lisa again next week to find out the latest on how your mindset is creating your life. You can listen to archived sessions on Lisa's website, hypnosisslc.com. That's HypnosisSLC.com. All links are on the resource tab. We'll see you next week.